collectively talk about this, and where I'm coming from is back to split your comment that you really made. You know, this is very conclusive, but there is no doubt. Makes absolutely like keeping it simple, and I think where we're adjusting our governance arrangements and policy, it needs to simplify. You don't need to comment on that, you might want to do half that paper, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So Claire,
it's John, John's the chair.
Oh, John's the chair, sorry. So, excuse me.
John's the board, is the chief executive.
That's okay. Just for the board, I've got to do that, going to the next paper, which is actually number 7 on the agenda, to consider the report of the chair of the cabinet. And then move the two collectively as to where that leaves us as an island. I'll come back to you in a second, I'm going to move that. Did you want to comment on that plan? Because that's what we're going to do, Johnson, report.
Well, basically, just a comment on the role of parish and town councils. Doesn't really appear to be our knowledge. I mean, councils like Newport, Carisbrook, Rye, Freshwater are doing a lot in terms of filling the void left by the removal of the local area coordinators. It just seems to me that the parishes do potentially have a big role to play in supporting.
Can I help you with that? And come back on that in a second. Let John do the introduction of the report itself, and then we'll bring up those points to John.
Thank you, Chair. So what we set out in the report is an evolution, if you like, of what was the Isle of Wight Local Care Board, which was predominantly set up as an arrangement to bring together the key statutory providers of health and care services in a more formalised way, but in a private way, where we could work together. We could jointly identify problems about how we work together and come up with mutual solutions, how we could identify challenges and how we could plan for how we improve the health of the Isle of Wight itself, the Isle of Wight community population. As that care board has progressed over 2.5 years, probably it's been in place, we've worked to look at some of the key targets and some of the key indicators that drive health improvement on the Isle of Wight, some of the key issues that we need to address, and some of the key performance issues where we need to work better together to try and help and improve outcomes for our community, especially in terms of people coming out of hospital and in terms of trying to support people to live at home for a lot longer. Over a period of time, as the local care board has evolved, we've brought on other key partners who, as representatives of other providers in the system, who had a contribution and a role to play, big providers in the system, who engaged with all three of those statutory bodies. In much the same way as I mentioned about the SPP, it's a partnership of the willing. It's something where we want to bring people together, but ultimately, that final decisions lie with sovereign bodies, sovereign organisations, whether it's the council, the CCG, or the trust. In the light of the work that's gone on around the SPP, and in light of our experiences, predominantly around a lot of the work that was done to create a health and care sustainability plan, the first instance, which was funded through health, but to try and understand how we make the health and care system on that much more sustainable and much more able to deal with the demands. We felt that we needed to take another look at the construction of the care board and its representation and how it works. And that's what we've got set out in your paper. So what it tries to do, it tries to, and what we had done though, in terms of bringing together the health and care sustainability plan, we very much created a governance structure for the plan. So we had a governance structure for the health and care plan, we had a governance structure for what we'd like our overall benefits to YAN to be in terms of community outputs, and we had a governance structure for how we might want to work together in a slightly different way. And effectively over time we created these three different governance structures. So what we're doing, what we're suggesting in the ICP is we fold all those three governance structures into one, and we give the revised care board, now called an ICP, which fits with the language being used by the SDP. But we use that care board now to continue the progress that we have with the health and care sustainability plan, B, continue to improve our focus on the prevention agenda, which we've been very much driving on, but not focusing on too much. And three, continue to focus on where we can better integrate services to get better outcomes for our community. Now, it will again evolve over a period of time, but we think that the proposals that we set out in the paper gives a good start, allow us to feed into the SDP, to work to the SDP, but all the time still recognising the fact that the individual organisation still retains sovereignty, and there's no way of creating an organisation that can take responsibility for all those statutory services. We are, I'll get to Richard perhaps to comment on this later, but we've taken a very bespoke arrangement to our ICP. There are lots of papers, and I think one's quoted in the paper from the King's Fund about how ICPs are developed and what they should do and who should be there and who shouldn't be there. We've taken a very bespoke added focus because it's built on our experience and it's built on the people that we've already working with. But what we've said is we'll set that up and within a 6-month period we'll have a review. Councillor Nicholson's committee has offered to help give us an overview about the work and therefore contribute to that review. And that ICP will very much fit into and sit as part of the SDP's arrangements. My view is, I think in terms of the SDP, which there are 4 ICPs envisaged, I think our ICP, how it's structured, will be different to what happens in Unit 3. But that's not a bad thing. I think that means it's right and it's bespoke for Ireland. But I think we have to kind of give it a good view to review that and be prepared to review that as we go along. The other advantage that we want to do with the revised ICP is we'll start to bring out some of the conversations that previously were held in private for obvious reasons that we got down to some really difficult thorny issues in those meetings. So we start to bring more light into the open about how those meetings are progressing and what we're doing and how we're doing things. So increasing the transparency, increasing scrutiny, but also increasing the work that we're doing its contribution towards the overall delivery of the SDP. So I think the paper's been agreed by the CCG, it's been agreed by the Trust, it's been agreed by the Council Cabinet, and therefore I think we're looking for the Health and Wellbeing Board to also support it today. Thank you.
Thank you, John. If any other points, I'd like to come back to Bob because you raised the element of parish councils. Just want to repeat that, go back across a little bit there.
Yeah, basically it was to say that there's some recognition and acknowledgement of the work that parish and town councils are doing, and perhaps picking up some of the services that the Allwhite Council no longer has the money to do. Replacing the local area coordinators. I think this is a vital part of the jigsaw.
Thank you. Claire.
I think we need to be really careful when saying we replace the local area coordinators. The model of local area coordinators, when we did the review, was that nobody was discharged from the service. So some of these areas are keeping up with the new model of social prescribing and care navigators. The actual model that we had local area coordinators, we accepted at the time, needed to be changed to fit in with what we thought was a better service to provide. So I think it's very difficult to discuss that at this meeting because we haven't asked local area coordinators to be funded by town and parish councils. What we are looking is to provide more community-based services. So for example, we have jointly funded with Rhinetown Council for Community Connector, but our actual, the terms of reference that we gave for that was to make sure that they weren't being overloaded with work, they had outcomes that people would be able to be more independent within the community. They are not placing their own coordinators.
Thank you for that, Claire. The comments on talking about the ICP now.
I think it's just really important to say, well, actually, the really good reflection is we've entered down into an environment where we've got a minimum of 4 years of we believe, political certainty. We've got a clear strategy at the transformation of health and wellbeing. We've got a bit, I think, still waiting the social care model, which is probably the only big bit of the jigsaw which we still await national policy, but we've probably got 80% of kind of the architecture now nailed. Health has got absolute clarity of its investment, the financial model over its 4 years, and know how much money they're getting, we anticipate how much money people will be needing care, etc. So there's no uncertainty, no kind of political change in a permissive environment that says locally you work it out. You build the structures and delivery models. We anticipate under the health plan legislation coming through later this year that competition as a default model will be removed from statute. So the idea that commissioners and providers have to go out to the market to test will be removed, and the island pound becomes the island pound. And of course you need to demonstrate the efficacy of spend, but the idea of having to go competition tariff-based models gets removed and the pound gets spent in the best interest of local people. So there are kind of no, all of the clutter that had traditionally existed around health, around who and how and what and where and in and out, and it is in essence removed. And we've got 4 years, a clear strategy which is locally placed, and the ICP, I think, is fundamental to now saying these next 4 years are when we make a big step change in delivering outcomes for people. In that respect, the ICP is both a planning process, but it's delivery orientated, and I think John and Maggie and Jonathan and others will say, if we don't deliver, then we've got no one else to kind of point fingers to. It's about delivery now. We know the plan, we know what the resources we've got, we've got to get on with it. And therefore, it's got to be bespoke to the local place, but it's also got to be delivery orientated and be ruthless about going, do we know what we're doing? Yes, are we doing it? No, why not? How do we get better at it? And that's going to be echoed across the whole of the country and aligned with the whole of the country.
You've obviously picked up that we've got this ICP being developed now. What's your gut take at this stage? Because we're in really early stage development, and I do view it as very flexible. We've just started a journey here, and I just wonder your experience and oversight of your thoughts.
So relationships are fundamental. In essence, we've got interface between agencies. My experience is quality of the relationship, trust and confidence between partners, and make policy into practice, get things done, and the island is in the best places there to build positive, trusting relationships, and the citizens expect that to happen. So I think the ICP proposition is bang on. I, as Maggie said earlier on, think the island and probably Portsmouth are the two areas where we're seeing the kind of most accelerated development. And so I think what's important is the island goes its way, but constantly seeks to kind of interface and learn and share its best practice and draw in best practice where it can from other parts of the patch, because it's a learning environment as much as anything else. So I completely encourage you. I think it's fundamental. We need it because it's the best way of delivering. And I think you need to set your own culture and operating model right for the island, but I think it is as much about sharing and drawing in the learning as well as operating in isolation. So no, I completely agree. I think if there are specific areas that you as an ICP would want to say we've got a development in space, then we have the opportunity as part of our journey to become something more, are able to draw down development support in those areas. So if it's we don't think yet that we quite fully understand how population health management could fundamentally change the way in which we drive change in focus, and we can access and bring down support for the ICP, but it's important that you guys say it and own it, and then we can leverage resources nationally to come in and help that development need. So
that is the other one which we'll keep going to John, but I think scrutiny for us as we go, and John really highlighted this idea of reviewing at the same time how it's unfolding, I think he's absolutely right. I was going to ask, how is the SDP world scrutinised? It's a bit of a loose question, but I don't think you report any particular scrutiny with you. I just wonder how you're kind of scrutinised so that helps John understand that vision.
So we're working with all partners at the moment to build a governance architecture which is more robust. At the moment, SDP is not legislative, doesn't have any distinct powers. It's, as we say, a community of leadership working together to find solutions. As we move forward, the proposition is that Hampshire and the other one becomes an integrated care system in September. Whether we do or not is contingent on delivery. But at that point, we need a governance structure which all partners, local authorities, group leaders, others, have confidence that there's transparency around the decision-making process. We've been working with a range of stakeholders to design and develop that governance structure, an ICS board, with representation from all of the areas, and recognising that we have to make decisions, but the default accountability continues to rest with statutory bodies. We are delighted, in fact, we attend many of the AUN's group committees to account for how we use resources on behalf of the wider community, and we continue to be delighted to. It might be useful to meet with the four scrutiny leads from across the four local authorities to say, how might we want to do that? Do you do it together? Do it separately? What's the schedule? Because ultimately, we are going to be given great expectation we work together to discharge some of these responsibilities. Final kind of reflection, I didn't answer your digital question, but the...
Just pause you there.
Yeah.
On that one point you brought up, it's a really good idea for the D4 and scrutiny lead to get together to try and overcome the whole picture, which I think John's and the timing of September is excellent, because that works with our kind of facility on. So I think all that fits the questions.
Well, I thought it's really important, I've bought Finland on the digital transformation process, but I think the really important thing is you've got to drive your level of digital strategy for that. Ireland first, you'll have a quite operational digital structures that you need to construct that make sense around public sector partners in, on the island, and that's yours and your business. And the bit that we are interested in, I am interested in, that Hampshire and the island are, I want a single integrated care record, so that whenever an island citizen accesses care off island, they've got seamless access to the clinicians and others supporting them, they've got seamless access to their longitudinal care record and can do best for them. I'm interested in you not having to go down the route of building complex AI and learning algorithms to drive efficient models. So we'll have radio therapists now looking at how we use AI to prioritize scan reads. Now, maybe doesn't want to develop that solely on the island. We want to do that together to build learning algorithms together. And maybe we want to find and go back to the kind of sustainability. The big part of the plan that Simon wants to do is got to stop burning fossil fuels, taking people needlessly to places. We're the biggest helpers, the biggest contributor of journeys in society today, and many of those journeys are unnecessary. And therefore, we're looking at how we build different models of stopping having to make people get in cars or buses or taxis and driving places to be informed things that they could have been informed of or supported or accessed in very many different ways. And that investment in that infrastructure sometimes is helpful to be done. Once, an example would be my medical record, we don't need every hospital and every practice and every CCG building's own patient health digital record. We might do that once. And so that's a template that we think is sensible. Because actually, if you're going to Southampton Hospital for cancer and St. Mary's Hospital for your operation treatment, you want to have everything in one more kind of patient-centered booklet. It's what we hear.
Around the room, any comments?
Thank you, Chair. Just to pick up on the point that Simon made earlier in terms of bringing in those wider partners, and obviously I noticed that the One Public Service is talked about in part of the paper, and we've got that workshop next week, so I'll look forward to how those discussions can develop around further integration with other partners, because actually that prevention and early intervention is crucial, and how such a police and sector can be involved in that, so look forward to that.
How much size are you in my heart? One island, one public service agenda. It can be anything from nothing to.
I've been fortunate. There's being as old as I am, you get to a degree of continuity. So I've been there through most of the journeys, and I think I'm very well set for the one public estate and the one public service model, and endorse it completely, and would do nothing ever to propose anything that jeopardizes it. I think it's about making sure that there's the connection back into the wider piece. So I use the examples of the learning algorithms, the care records. we, Maggie will have looks at some of her hospital information systems and go, if I'm going to be working more closely with urology on the mainland, I'm going to make sure that I'm looking at alignment of clinical information systems so the clinicians working on both sides can have familiarity. So I think it's a do, it's a consciousness that I think we need to build in rather than a hierarchical model. So the question is, we're going down this route, does this create an impediment or does this create an enabler? And if it's an impediment, how do we mitigate it? If it's an enabler, let's see how we balance it. I think that's the philosophy that we have to build within the ICP.
I've just made one comment on the model of some of the university. So on the online more public service, it's been on an evolving process, and the service actually would be right to see that in the meetings. I've already had some informal communication with the government. In fact, government, I think, now have a good back came to us to say, effectively, in some time ago, you're the other place for something like this lot, because you're on the first of the practice. My agenda has been to try and get back up the ladder again and say, well, actually, we agree, we've got a plan, and we'd like you to support us on it. Hopefully, we'll get access, and my colleagues are in partnership, we will collectively be able to present what we want our ask is to Matt Hancock's office in particular, but also Robin General. So I'm only making me aware of that because that's our determination to make sure it's all fixed properly before we go and do that, because we are in a place where we hopefully get some really good help. And it's something you mentioned about the flexibility of our process of the tools you talked about, the acquisition of services, like negotiable commercial kind of processes. But I think we could get, I think, a good bit of flexibility would really help you on. So I need to brief you outside probably on that, and I'm thinking about it. Michael?
It says in your reference about observations, and I know some of the people have been saying that Claire has actually taken on women in her report, and that was a federal description. It's just really for others here. I think it is important about the strategic partnership with others that are actually not in the room. And one of the big side is actually patients, service users, carers, residents, i.e. the people and the people's voice and how that comes in. And I think you've got very good work at Health Watch who does some very good reports in that engagement, and I think it's important that you take that on board. I think there are others like community pharmacies, the independent sector, the smaller voluntary sector within that world. And also lastly, the parish and town council, because if you take one, we actually put in nearly a quarter of a million a year into voluntary sector community things, which actually have very important health outcomes. And I think it's important that increasingly as a county council cannot put funding into things because of statutory responsibilities. And the precept at local level is probably going to be the only uncapped source of finance that can actually put those things at local level. I'm just thinking of that. So I just want you to take it on board. I know they've taken on board, Craig. I just want others to hear that message.
I think when we look at the LCP, I have heard this message at scrutiny and I'm concerned about the explanation that I gave that. This is a very strategic board, and for it to be called, there has to be three members of the trust, three members of CCG and ourselves. And when we talk about community pharmacy, I've already addressed this, that it would be very difficult to have the technical women, and that's a commission service from the CCG. You have to remember as well that this board is meeting with lots of information and other groups feeding underneath it. So it's not a case of people are being automatically not involved in this board. When you look at the next structure below, all of those people that we mentioned can feed in and give their input. When it comes to patient services, I think we also have to remember when we've had like patient travel and stuff like that. For example, I've been on a patient travel board when it was very, very heavily dominated with people who've had the difficulty of travelling due to cancer, etc., but people who were disabled were actually drowned out by those other parts. You have to be really, really careful who you have in attendance. When we look at the structure of this board, it's very strategic, it has lots of people reporting underneath it. So when we do bring it back in 6 months to Councillor Nicholson's committee, what we want to do is have that bigger picture. So look where the OCP is and look at the membership of those groups below who are then reporting back to the ICP, not to just look at the membership of the ICP in isolation. And I think we agree with Councillor Nicholson that that would be a good way forward.
Thank you for that.
I'm sorry to say that I'm not there next week at the kind of but I would reflect that I am, they're not days by where I don't come across global partners, be they pharma, consultancy, others, who say they would want to work pro bono with the island because of the opportunities it presents to articulating their place-based vision and strategy. So I know you've got your own processes, but I wouldn't underestimate going up the line with this extraordinary wealth of the asset you've got on the island, the capability you've got, but refined by the injectors and the kind of world's leading thinking around how the island becomes at the forefront of a place-based model.
Thank you. I think another factor that means is the wider implications of got digital, we've got our housing strategy, we've got our safety strategy, which is definitely around mental health, we need to be exploring that. So I think that wider package is something that the OCP will be able to take an overview on as well. The other thing is it will become apparent publicly in due course, our budgeting for this year has actually taken account of where we see the priorities, and there are a number of things that we have not included in the budget because we felt they were important enough to prioritise to preserve that element. We expect that most of the public demand about time. Claire and police are very aware of this, and I think when that comes apparent, we'll see. I think that really is two key points I want to pick up on. Are there any other comments anybody wants to make? And I'll move to just getting a record. Okay, so the first thing we're being asked to do, I've written note and welcome. I've put note and welcome in the program.